It's New Year's Eve on Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm Mark Levonier. Later on in this hour, a New Year's play with Jack Benny and the gang. But right now, it's the second half of our big show broadcast from December 31st, 1950 on NBC.
Well, Gloria, Gloria, it's so nice to have a motion picture star on the program who isn't here just to plug some picture she just made. Your picture was such an enormous success, darling, it doesn't need any plug. Well, what's the news from out in Hollywood?
You mean, what's new along Sunset Boulevard?
You slip on in, didn't you, darling? Well, let's forget business and just talk some old-fashioned girl talk. Just between the two of us.
Mm. Yes, a girl talk just between the three of us.
Oh, Margaret. I forgot all about you. Oh, Gloria, you know Margaret O'Brien, of course.
Yes, hello, Margaret.
Hello, Gloria, darling.
Margaret is going to become an actress in the theater.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm. Well, Gloria, I bet you must be exhausted from working in a theater. Oh, yes, we'd have a cigarette.
No, thank you, Salula. I don't care for one now.
Have a cigar, darling.
No, thank you, Margaret, darling. Cigar?
Oh, I just carry it to put me at my ease.
Well, Gloria, I was in Hollywood, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. I saw everybody, and everybody was talking
about... I'll say...
Well, everybody was talking about you-know-who.
Oh, yes. He's been behaving terribly, I hear.
Oh, terribly. He had the effrontery to come to the studio with the... What's-her-name?
With what's-her-name? Where was her husband?
Oh, darling, he was driving that blonde hoosier down to Palm, or whatchamacallit.
Tallulah, no.
You don't say, darling.
Margaret, please, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do. I've heard this story before.
What?
This is the first time I heard the details.
Where, may I ask, did you hear this story?
Oh, from some of the kids on the lot. Dean Stockwell, Lionel Barrymore.
That kid Lionel is incorrigible. I'm going to tell his kid sister Ethel about it.
Oh, Tallulah, I almost forgot, and I don't know whether I should mention this or not, but I just read in the paper... where that certain friend of yours got that wonderful award for the best motion picture performance of the year for the Critics' Circle.
Which proves what I've always suspected. The Critics' Circle is a bunch of squares. Well, don't you agree, darling?
Well, I'd like to, but I might want to make another picture in another 20 years.
Well, now, what was the matter with the picture you made, that Sunset Street? I thought it was brilliant.
It's Sunset Boulevard, Tallulah.
Oh. Well, I saw it in the neighborhood theater. Well, whatever it was called, it certainly deserved the award, because the same thing, you know, happened to me a few years ago when I made a magnificent picture.
Oh, yes, I saw it. Lifesaver, wasn't it? You were superb.
Lifeboat, darling.
Well, whatever flavor it was, I thought you gave the outstanding performance of the year.
Ladies, if I may say a word.
Oh, you bet, Jose.
Speaking of great pictures, you're forgetting a picture that I made this year. Cyrano de Bergerac.
Darling, don't stick your nose into this argument.
Well, I made a picture once called Journey from Argos, and I thought it would win the Critics' Award. And when it didn't, did I write them a nasty letter?
This child will someday grow up to be the President of the United States.
If you would like to know a quick, easy way to ease the pain of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, then by all means, try Anacin. Your own dentist or physician may at one time or another have handed you an envelope containing Anacin tablets. Then you already know how incredibly fast and effectively Anacin brings relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. For your own sake, try Anacin. Anacin is sold to you on this guarantee. If the first few tablets do not give you all the relief you want as fast as you want it, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. You can get Anacin tablets at any drug counter. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
I want to thought you'd have a little talk with Margaret O'Brien. She's so interested in becoming an actress in the theater, and I really don't know of a more expert artist she can come to for advice.
Well, that's quite flattering, Delilah.
I'd appreciate any help you can give me, Mr. Ferrer.
I know the child is quite young.
Nonsense. One of the greatest parts ever written was for a young girl, because the character was supposed to have been 14 years old. I'm referring, of course, to Juliet, of the immortal Romeo and Juliet. How old are you, child?
Oh, I just turned 14.
You know, you might well play it at that.
Oh, this little girl played Juliet all day. Some of the greatest actresses of the theater played it. Jane Cowell, Judy Marlowe, Catherine Cornell, Miss Ethel Barrymore.
I know, Tallulah, but I've always thought it would be interesting to have the 14-year-old Juliet played by a 14-year-old actress. I wonder if you would read a scene with me, Margaret, the famous balcony scene.
Oh, may I?
Oh, there, are you mad? Now, how can a 14-year-old child run the gamut of emotion necessary to portray the exacting role of a girl torn from the arms of the man she loves, frustrated at every turn by parents who finally drive the lovers to their destruction? What could this child possibly know about love? Why, when I was 14 years old, I never... Margaret, maybe you'd better try to play it, dear.
Oh, excuse me, Tallulah. Before Mr. Ferrer and Miss O'Brien appear as Romeo and Juliet, I wish to say that this portion of the program was brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. Now, Tallulah, will you bring your child?
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Big Show. And Margaret O'Brien, one of the guest stars, is about to realize her lifelong ambition to become an actress in the legitimate theater.
All right, everybody, on stage, a star is about to be born. I want you all to watch this. Vivian Blaine?
What's going on?
Jose Ferrer is going to act out a beautiful scene with Margaret O'Brien.
That guy is going to act with that little doll?
Vivian, what is this guys and dolls talk?
You mean that you don't know what a guy is and what a doll is? From the play of the same name where I talk like this?
No, I don't know what a guy is and a doll is from the play of the same name where you talk like that, darling.
Well, listen to me. I'll be glad to explain you.
Darling, they've been trying to explain me for years.
Well, Tallulah, darling, I'll explain you very simple. Do you ever go to Lindy's for a bite?
If I'm going to be bitten, I'd rather be bitten at the soft club.
What I mean is, do you ever go to eat at Lindy's?
No, I rarely dress for dinner.
Yeah? From this, a person can catch a cold.
Well, what about Lindy's?
Well, we'll say, for instance, Lindy is packed to the gills. It is impossible physically, if you'll pardon the expression, to squeeze, if you'll pardon the expression, another patient. But at one table for four are sitting two fellas, and the other two seats are bare.
If you'll pardon the expression.
Excuse me. So the two girls walk over to the table where the two fellas are sitting with the two bare seats. And they ask the two fellas politely, are the two bare seats occupied? But the fellas go on eating and don't even answer. Well, those two girls are dolls.
And the two men are guys.
They're slobs.
But if they invited the girls to have dinner with them, would they be guys?
Well, if it's Dutch treat, they're guys.
But if the guys paid for the girls' dinner?
Oh, well, those guys would be dolls.
So those are the kind of people that are in your show, guys and dolls. Would I fit into your show?
Well, if you were in our show, we'd have to call it Guys and Darlings.
Well, Vivian, although your explanation was confusing, I must admit it was quite dull.
Likewise, I'm sure.
So let's get back to Margaret O'Brien and the part of Juliet. Vivian, have you seen Juliet?
Not since the show opened. I've been meaning to call her, but I've been so busy.
Vivian, dear, Juliet has been dead for years.
No kidding. Now, I'm really sorry I didn't call her. You know, a patient should never put off till tomorrow.
Yes, well, we all have to go sometime. Sam Levine, come over here. I want you to watch this, too.
What's the pitch?
Margaret O'Brien and Jose Ferrer are doing a scene from Romeo and Juliet.
And for this, you broke up my pinochle game.
Sam, It's that wonderful scene where Romeo meets Juliet on the balcony.
A very good place to meet a doll. I met more dolls in the balcony of Lois Pitkin Theater than this.
This balcony happens to be Lois Verona. And Ken Murray, wait a minute. Now, where are you sneaking off to? Aren't you interested in Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, sure. I'm smoking one now.
I'm talking about Jose Ferrer.
That's a good cigar, too.
I mean Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yes, Tallulah. I'm sorry. I know it very well.
Oh, did you ever play Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, sure.
How did you do?
Ran second, paid $16.80 to play.
Chloe Swanson, Fran Warren, let's listen to Jose Ferrer play Romeo to Margaret O'Brien's Juliet. Go ahead, Jose.
Well, Margaret, are you familiar with the lines of the scene?
Oh, yes. We kids on the lot used to play Romeo and Juliet all the time.
I bet that Lionel Barrymore kid must have made a great Romeo.
Well, now, why don't we try a few lines from the scene that begins, "But soft, what light through yonder window breaks?" You remember?
Oh, yes.
What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Be not her maid, since she is envious. Her vestal livery is but thick and green, and none but fools do wear it. Cast it off. It is my lady. Oh, it is my love.
Ah, me.
She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel. For thou art as glorious to this night, being o'er my head, as is a winged messenger of heaven unto the white, upturned, wondering eyes of mortals that fall back to gaze on him when he despises the lace encasing clouds and sails upon the bosom of the air.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Oh, if thou wilt not, be but sworn, my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak of this?
'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in the name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou that thus be screened in night, so stumblest on my counsel?
By a name I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
My ears have not yet drunk 100 words of thy tongue's uttering, but I know the sound. Hast thou not Romeo and a Montague?
Neither, fair maid, if either thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? Orchard walls are high and hard to climb. In the place, death, considering who thou art, any of my kinsmen find thee here.
With love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls, for stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do, that dares love attempt. Therefore thy kinsmen are no less to me.
It is almost morning. I would have thee gone. And yet, no farther than a wanton bird, who lets it hop a little from her hand. And with a silk thread, tucks it back again, so loving and jealous of his liberty.
I would I were thy bird.
Sweet, so would I. Yes, I could kill thee with much cherishing. Good night. Good night. Parting is that sweet sorrow. But I shall say good night till it be morrow. Thank you, darling. And Jose, your little contribution was, as usual, divine. Isn't he sweet?
Just a minute, kid. I wouldn't bow that low if I were you. Your rubber panties are showing.
But, Tallulah, I was only acknowledging the plaudits of the multitude. I wish I had time to get to the famous death scene.
That might be arranged, darling. If you'll give me a moment to go out and get a little something, I'd like to see you do the poison drinking scene.
Oh, would you enjoy that, Tallulah?
To the dregs, dear.
Wait a minute. What are you picking on the kid for? I think she's done real good.
You think she done real good? I think she did real good.
All right, did real good. The little doll's got class.
But Pam, darling, the role of Juliet should be played by an actress who has had much more experience than Margaret has had. She's so young.
All right, I'll give you that. She ain't no Irene did.
Irene Dunn.
Well, make up your mind.
Juliet requires such a depth of perception, such inner fire. Oh, Margaret did very well indeed. Of course, you can't expect a child to have the third dimension that I have.
Well, it's as broad as it's long. Personally, I think she made a fine Juliet. I'd like to hear you do it better.
I was wondering when you'd stop ad-libbing and get to that line. I'll show you a side of Juliet you never saw before.
From a balcony? All right, go ahead.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, darling?
Here I am, Julie, right under the fire escape.
Deny thy father and refuse thy name.
Refuse my name? All right, so I'm Jessica Dragonette.
Oh, Sam, will you stop that? Don't you know the romantic story of Romeo and Juliet?
Well, let me put it this way. No.
You mean you've never heard of Romeo and Juliet?
So kill me, I never heard of it.
You're in the theater. Where have you been all these years?
Three man, a horse, room service, light up the sky, and now I'm in Guys and Dolls. But this Shakespeare, I don't dig already.
So don't dig it. Let him lay there already. And I'll tell you the story of Romeo and Juliet, or as you would call it, a guy and a doll. And this guy, Romeo, comes from a wealthy family, the Montagues. They're in the woolen business.
Nice business, legit.
Yeah. And the Dodd family is well-heeled, too. Mm-hmm. The Capulet. They operate a chain of flower stores. Now, that's how she knows that a rose by another name. Still, if you'll pardon the expression, no.
Mm. Well, that figures. And from the flower shops, they make money?
So, all right.
What?
They do a little bookmaking in back of the store.
Well, Ned.
So the guy and the doll, they got a yen for each other. But the family's object.
Before they married, they already got mother-in-law trouble.
No, it ain't the mother-in-law, it's the father's. You see, the old man is Montague, he's in the woolen business. And old man Capulet is in the flower business.
Where's the competition?
The Montagues make suits without buttonholes in the lapels. And it's ruining the Capulet flower business.
Oh. What a lousy trick.
The guy and the doll want to get married, so they elope. And later the doll's father don't know she's married, so he wants her to marry another guy. So the doll lays down on the bed and makes it look like she's dead. And Romeo finds her and thinks she is dead, so he kills himself. And when the doll wakes up and she finds the guy has knocked himself off, so the doll knocks herself off. Well, that's the finish of the play.
That's the finish?
That is the finish.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know what?
If they got some big hit songs, it's got a chance. What's the name of that play again?
Death of a Woolen Salesman. What difference does it make? You wouldn't understand if I spent the rest of this year explaining it to you. And there isn't much left of this year. 1950 is almost over. And in a few hours, it'll be 1951. A new year. I don't know where the time goes. It seems there should be another month in the year to do all the things we forgot to do. A month to remember what we forgot. October, November, December, remember. It even rhymes, doesn't it, darling? A whole month of days to remember a kindly deed we should have done, a soft word we could have spoken, a friendly smile we should have bestowed. Jose, what do you think?
Well, I think that your month of remember should have at least 31 days. We could all use 31 days of grace devoted to undoing some of the unthinking things we did during the year.
Well said, Jose, and I think we can carry the idea further and make it a month for the whole world to stop and remember what a wonderful place this could be to live in if man would really be brother to man.
You're so right, Gloria. If the grown-ups would only take this month to remember, not to forget that the world they're making today is the world the kids of my age are going to have to live in tomorrow.
Margaret, that's a beautiful pitch. Every grifter on Broadway, every crumb on every street corner, every tin horn on 42nd Street, if we could only give them an extra month to remember, they might have less to try to forget when they go to sleep at night.
Yes, Sam. And with this extra month of remember, what a chance it would be for the guys and dolls on Broadway and in Hollywood to remember that there's a real world outside the little dream world they live in.
You're so right, Vivian. I sure could use that extra month just to sit around and remember all the kind and unselfish people who helped me up a few rungs of that long, rough ladder.
Fran, that's a beautiful sentiment. You know, I didn't think too kindly about this extra month at first. I got to thinking about the extra bills that would come in on the 1st of Remember and the income tax on Remember the 15th. But believe me, give me that extra month to remember some of the things I could have done better in the 12 months we've had. And I'll pay those extra bills.
Ken, you're right. But, Tallulah, you know what I would do if we could make this a universal month? I'd spend every one of the days talking to people everywhere in the world in the universal language, music.
Then tell the world, Mary, with some of the new and lovely words of that universal language, some of the great songs from some of the great shows of the year past by. It's the big show medley of the big shows of 1950, opening with one of the newest and gayest from the most recent of musical hits, Meredith Wilson, the big show orchestra and chorus in Guys and Dolls. From South Pacific, Vivian Blaine sings.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms and send him on his way. Don't try to patch it up, tear it up, tear it up. Wash him out, dry him out, push him out, fly him out, cancel him and let him go. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way.
The big show chorus and orchestra and Meredith's arrangement of Irving Berlin's smash hit from Call Me Madam.
Put your head on my shoulder. You need someone who's older. Or up down with a velvet glow.
Stars that used to twinkle in the skies are twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why. I hear
Warren sings another great 1950 hit. Here's one of the best from Kiss Me, Kiss.
So in love with you.
stop the music, Meredith. You haven't heard yet from Tallulah. Here it is, darlings, my big song of 1950. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there along. Oh, thank you, darling. And now I think it would be very nice if the orchestra and all the cast and everybody would sing Auld Lang Syne.
But, Miss Bankhead, we already did that.
You see, nobody ever tells me anything on this program. Oh, well, darlings, this winds up our New Year's show. And we ask you to be with us at this time next week when our stars will be Fred Allen, Marlena Dietrich, Cortland Hoffer, Edward G. Robinson, Danny Thomas, Fran Warren, and others, and, of course, Meredith Wilson and his big show orchestra and chorus. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. Friend,
may you find that long-awaited golden day today.
Jose?
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. Vivian?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Sam?
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. Meredith?
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Margaret?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. Gloria?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Ken?
May you walk with the sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you.
Happy New Year, darling.
The Big Show, coming to a close on Tuned to Yesterday from December 31st, 1950 on NBC. I'm Mark Levonier. The Big Show and its inflated budget was produced in 1950 for several reasons, not the least of which was in the place of something that the National Broadcasting Company had lost in 1949, several major comedy shows that had tens of millions of listeners. Talent like Red Skelton, radio ventriloquist Edgar Bergen with his wooden dummy Charlie McCarthy, Ozzie and Harriet, and even Bing Crosby. CBS President William Paley had spent millions of dollars to attract players away from NBC, his major competition, in a talent raid that Variety magazine would call the Year of Paley's Comet. And among the stars that this comet would net in its wake was one of radio's most popular, Jack Benny. For many years on NBC, Benny and his cast would perform a New Year's fantasy play around the holiday, and when the crew moved to CBS, they brought this tradition with them. With the Jack Benny program starting on Sunday evenings at 7, many listeners would switch from the Big Show that started at 6 on NBC and leave the last half hour for Jack on CBS. Now, his New Year's play, as it was heard at the very same time of that Big Show episode from December 31st, 1950.
Since this is New Year's Eve, we're going to revive an old custom and present our New Year's fantasy entitled The New Tenant, or Goodbye 50, Hello 51. Now, I will play the part of the old year, 1950. And, Don, you will be the world.
Oh, Jack, every time you do one of these fantasies, you make me play the world. Just once, I'd like to be the little New Year.
You play the part of the little New Year? Don, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? Why? I could wear a diaper, couldn't I?
Don, you not only can't wear a diaper now, but there's a great element of doubt in my mind that you ever could. So you'll play the part of the world. Just come dressed in your latitudes. Or if it's cold, wear your longitudes. Now, let's see.
Jack.
What?
How come you're getting most of the jokes in the program today?
My writer did that instead of buying me a Christmas present. Cheap guys. Now, Phil, you will play the part of Uncle Sam, and Mary, you'll be Uncle Sam's wife, Columbia. Now, you and Uncle Sam have 48 children.
48 children?
Wait till Alice hears about this.
It's only a play. Now, Dennis, I have a very difficult part for you.
Oh, you have?
Yes, you will be several of the foreign countries in the United Nations, such as France.
Oui, oui.
England.
Rather.
Mexico.
Buenas noches, señor.
And Russia.
How do you do?
Now, Dennis, this is a very serious play, so let's get started. As the curtain rises, the old year, 1950, is in his room packing, and Columbia is helping him. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia. Columbia, will you come here a minute, please?
Well, what do you want, 1950?
Give me a hand with my packing, will you? Got to get out of here by midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Oh, yes. Little 51 will be here soon.
Yep. Soon as I'm packed, I'll be on my way. Sure wish I could take that television set with me.
Why?
That Faye Emerson. Wow! Now, let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. I want to take some of this music. Good night, Irene. Good night. Yep, going to take that one with me. If Irene don't want to go to sleep, why force her? Now, let's see. Yep. Guess I got about everything.
Hiya, Rube.
Hiya.
What was that?
Oh, one of them flying saucers. Now, let's see. Yes, sirree. Guess I've packed about everything. Well, look who's here. It's Uncle Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Howdy, Columbia. I just dropped in to say goodbye to 1950.
Right nice of you, Sam, coming to say goodbye to me, considering all the trouble I gave you.
Yep, you've sure been a rough year.
Well, I know I made some mistakes, but...
Mistakes? Right off the bat, you froze up my son, Florida. Then you practically ruined me with the coal and railroad strikes. And, brother, what you done to Notre Dame?
Now, don't be too hard on 50, Sam. He did his best.
Well, thanks, Columbia. Tried, anyway. Well, I better get going.
Say, don't forget to say goodbye to my 48 kids.
I won't. They're my favorite little... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Columbia, how come you're sitting there knitting?
Oh, ain't she told you?
Told me what?
We're expecting two more, Hawaii and Alaska.
Where?
Kind of tough knitting woolen underwear and grass skirts at the same time.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hello, everybody.
Well, well, if it ain't the world.
Hello, world. How's the universe treating you?
No, I don't know.
Say, world, you don't look too happy.
Well, I haven't been feeling so well lately. You remember how sick I was from 1914 to 1918?
Uh-huh.
Then I had a relapse from 1939 to 1945.
Yep, I heard about it, but I thought you were all over that.
A few months ago, I suddenly developed a big pain around my 38th parallel.
Well, why don't you go see a doctor?
I did, and he knew what was wrong with me as soon as he took my blood count. Too many red cells.
We'd all feel a lot better if they'd get something accomplished downstairs in the UN.
Say, they're having a meeting there now. Let's open the door and listen.
Order, order. Let's have a little order for the next speaker.
Look, the Russian delegate is getting up.
Yeah.
People of the world, gentlemen and comrades, we of the Russian Soviets wish for peace, and we are prepared to make a fair compromise. All we ask is a small buffer area. Of course, this would mean moving the 38th parallel slightly. We would like to move it somewhere around Alabama and Mississippi.
Would like to hear from
I am not finished with my speech yet. Since I am here in America, I want to tell you the terrible things I have seen with my own eyes. Peasants are forced to ride in automobiles. In California, some of the peasants are even forced to ride with the top down. And they are wearing dark glasses so nobody should see how much they are suffering. And tomorrow in the concentration camp they call the Rose Bowl, 100,000 people will be forced to huddle together to watch a football game. That is why I say that...
Just a moment.
What is wrong?
Why is it, Mr. Russian delegate, that every time we discuss a matter here, you stall and delay the debate for weeks and months so it never ends?
Well, if you must know, the longer I stay here, the less time I have to spend in Russia.
Close the door, Sam. I've heard enough. Well, Columbia, it's almost midnight. Better get my bags together and... Say, the New Year's coming a few seconds early.
What do you mean, old-timer?
Look out the window. Here he comes now without any clothes on. Just a cloth wrapped around him. Hey, are you the New Year?
No, I'm on my way home from Santa Anita.
Doggone, I thought sure that was him. Well, let's see. I got my bags packed, got my hourglass. I guess I'm... Hey, that must be him now. Come in.
Hi, Rube.
Doggone, there goes that saucer again.
I didn't see anything.
Neither did I.
Well, some people do and some don't. That's the first stroke of 12. I wonder what's keeping the new tenant. Little fella should be here by now.
Don't worry, he'll show up.
Now, before I leave, Sam, here's a little tip for you. Keep your shirt on, but your sleeves rolled up, and everything will be all right.
Don't worry, old-timer.
They can push Uncle Sam just so far. Then he starts pushing back.
I know, Sam, but you're going to need a lot of things to push with. So keep your factories humming. People have to work a little harder, do without a few things, but they did it before, and they can do it again. Well, time's a-fleetin', but I can't leave till that little shaver gets here.
That must be him now.
Yeah. Come in. Yep, it's the little New Year. Hello, son.
Hello, old-timer. Isn't he cute?
Yeah, I bet he don't weigh much more than Sinatra.
Come here, sonny. I want you to meet Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia.
Glad to know you, folks.
Hello, sonny.
Hi, bub. Make yourself to home.
And say, I almost forgot. This is the world. Want you to meet him, too.
Hello, son.
Hello. So he's the world, huh?
Yes, sir.
Gosh, there's enough room on him for everybody.
Well, there should be, and yet... Oh, I don't quite understand it myself. Well, it's getting late, and I'll have to be moseying along, son, but there are a few things you ought to know.
What is it, old-timer?
Well, the most important thing I want you to remember is to take good care of Uncle Sam here. You ain't gonna have no picnic, 51. You may get some complaints about high prices and taxes.
Gee, I'm a little discouraged already.
Oh, I wouldn't be too discouraged. It looks bad, but some good things are happening. Some people are beginning to understand each other a little better. A couple of weeks ago, a fellow called Ralph Bunch, grandson of a slave, went to Stockholm to pick up his Nobel Peace Award. Take good care of him, sonny. We need men like that.
I will.
Then there's some more fellas I want you to take care of. You'll hear about them. Ike Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur. They've been helping Sam for a long time. There's some others, too. Sam will tell you who they are, won't you, Sam?
I sure will.
Reason I'm mentioning this, sonny, is because I want you to be a little more careful than I was. See, I lost some mighty good boys while I was here. One of them just recently. A fellow named Walton Walker. He was a general and a darn good one, too. And then there were thousands of others who weren't generals, who weren't even officers. Just plain GIs. But they're all doing their job for Uncle Sam. Weren't they, Sam?
Yep. I'll never forget them.
Then there was another fellow we lost during my time.
Was he a soldier, too?
Well, you could call him that. Sort of a singing soldier. Used to go around entertaining everybody. Singing songs and telling jokes, making people happy. I wish you could have seen him.
He was good, huh?
Good? Why, son, when he'd get down on one knee and sing about his mammy, the people would stand up and cheer. And after he sang and sang and sang and you thought he was all through, he'd look right at you and say, "You ain't heard nothing yet." There's the 11th gong.
Gee, I feel older already.
Well, you got a big responsibility, son. Just as soon as I go, it's all yours. Well, I guess I'll be on my way. Gosh, I hate to go. There were so many things I wanted to do. But you're young and strong, and I guess I'm leaving it in good hands. Goodbye, son.
Goodbye.
So long, Sam. So long, Columbia.
Goodbye, old-timer.
Goodbye, 1950.
So long, world. Keep smiling.
Jack Benny program presenting their New Year's Eve fantasy from December 31st, 1950 on CBS. And that does it for this New Year's Eve special of Tuned to Yesterday. I hope you can be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together and the new year, this is Mark Levonier. Happy New Year.